You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here. Mike Pettine saying that Brian Hoyer will be the team's starting quarterback. We'll be with you for the first hour here, and then I will be passing the baton over to Michael Regei, who will be here for the second hour here alongside Matt Wilhelm. In that hour, Adam Kaplan, ESPN NFL insider, will join the show at 2:30. Mike Pettine's press conference will be re-aired at 2 o'clock as well. A lot of reaction coming in from around the National Football League. Brian Billick on Twitter saying, Brian Hoyer, Colt McCoy, Drew Stanton are great quarterbacks to have on your team as backups because that's what they are. Apparently not in favor of Coach Pettine's decision to stick with Brian Hoyer, who's gotten the Browns to 7-5 here on the season, the best start again since 2007. We wanted to get your reaction here on the phone line, so let's just get right into it. Randy in Zania, how are you doing, Randy?
Real good. Just got a couple comments. One, and I'm glad you just said that, you know, as far as a 7-5 record, a lot of people's, you know, talking about that. I just want to remind, you know, and all know all the Browns fans know that back in 07, when we were 10-6, you know, we played an easy schedule just like we're doing this year. And what's the Browns do? They wanted to, during the season, extend Romeo Crennel and Derek Anderson's contracts that year. I think we all know how that turned out. So as far as basing that 7-5 record, if we'd been playing teams like San Francisco, New England, that type of thing, I think we all know record would have been a lot worse this year with the inconsistency of the offense. And I just feel like the Browns blew a great chance to have the stadium all fired up because we all know if Manziel would have been starting, everybody would have been fired up. And I think the defense and the offense and everybody, all 53 players, would, you know, could feed off that and be energized. Where now I believe that, you know, the first incomplete pass that Hoyer throws, there's going to be a lot of booing. I think we all know that. So that's not going to be a good environment. And I just think overall this just shows that this is just the same old Browns. I know they were trying to get out of that, being called that, but it's like they're afraid to make the big move. If you ask me, if it had been like a Bill Parcells or somebody like that managing, I think he would have went to Manziel right away because, hey, he knows he's got to win these four games. So whoever he pleases or displeases, he would just went with it because he went for the betterment of the team. So I just think, you know, it's a mistake. And even if Hoyer has a good game this week and they win, you know, there's three more to go, and we know there's going to be that inconsistency. So, you know, and that's just about all I have to say today.
Well, again, just to react to your statements, I think you talk about same old Browns. Same old Browns are not 7-5 either, okay? You talked about 2007. That's 7 years ago, okay, and an opportunity to have a winning football team. So that's first and foremost. You can't say same old Browns because your same old Browns are in playoff contention right now. So without me, because I was in the NFL, truly understanding the Browns culture of the last decade, same old Browns, that statement is by far and away not even close to where we're at. That's first and foremost. But secondly, I do understand, and again, not to be critical of any fan, because I think this fan base is the most passionate fan base in all of football, but this team should come out on Sunday passionate and ready to stay in playoff contention, and they have everything to play for at this point, not just because of one player or one player's mistake. And I think also, too, just because you listened to Gerard early this morning on a really big show, I watch film, he watches film. Those who know football and watch football, this falls by far and away on so many more people's shoulders than just one person. So to be critical of just one guy and one decision, I think at this point, if that were the case, then there are multiple guys, and why? And again, as Nathan talked about, as the additions to this locker room, is why are there potential shufflings going on in the running backs room? Because Mike Pettine is not satisfied with the product that is on the football team, and I think that him, Ray Farmer, and the coordinators evaluate this roster top to bottom and make a decision on a week-to-week basis on what is best for the club.
That's what they're doing. I think that, you know, a lot of tweets are coming in right now that are saying in response to that caller's his standpoint that it's the same old Browns because same old Browns embrace mediocrity, and they feel that what they're getting right now at the quarterback position is mediocrity.
And in some cases it is.
In some cases it's been worse than mediocrity.
Yes.
It's been worse than mediocre. Certainly the last 4 weeks it has been. It's a tough situation because you're going to the unknown. Some people would much rather have the thrill of the unknown and the potential of the unknown than the known commodity. Mike Pettine opting to go with the commodity that he feels that he knows the best at this time, sticking with Brian Hoyer. George and Chardon, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Just maybe a little bit different perspective, and you just mentioned it, the term mediocrity. But if you look at Brian Hoyer, on a scale of 1 to 10, and in the National Football League, he's probably a 5 or a 6. And based on his QB ratings and his past performances, that's about where I place him. Now, that said, there's a possibility that if he has a good day, he's going to probably elevate to a 7 or an 8. If he has a bad day, he's going to drop to a 3 or 4. Now, if he has a good day, a 7 or 8 is probably good enough to beat a lot of teams. You take, conversely, if you take a guy like Peyton Manning, for example, who is a 10, if he has a bad day, he's going to be a 7, which means that he probably has a good chance, again, of beating most teams that he plays. So from that standpoint, I agree totally with the concept of staying with Hoyer and giving him the chance to win. The other point is Manziel, there is absolutely zero history on Johnny Manziel. You don't know what you're going to get.
Exactly.
All you have is film of practice. All you have is college statistics, but you don't know what you're going to get. So he is a complete roll of the dice. I would rather go with a guy that at least gives me maybe a 70% chance of winning than go with a guy that I think probably would give you less than 50.
It's interesting. I mean, that's one way to look at it. And again, it's some people feel more comforted by what they know, the devil they know, than the devil they don't. And I think that in this case, that's what our caller George there was saying in Chardon. Bottom line is, it's a bottom line business, and Brian Hoyer's getting another opportunity to go out there and play at a high level. And he's going to need to play at arguably the highest level of his career to go out there and duel with Andrew Luck, who leads the NFL with 4,011 yards, second with 34 touchdowns, orchestrating the most prolific offense in the entire National Football League. Brian Hoyer is going to need to play at a very high level if he wants to continue this, because I think now that Pandora's box, in a sense, has been opened with what Johnny Manziel showed against Buffalo, every game, if the Browns don't win on Sunday, we're going to be right back here, because then you're going to be one step further removed from the playoffs. Is it time to go to Johnny now? What's going to happen? So there's a lot of pressure right now on this situation.
There definitely is pressure on the situation, but also, too, I think pressure on this entire team. And I think that, as you said, Brian Hoyer versus Andrew Luck, of course, quarterbacks are the marquee position on a football field, and they, in most cases, make or break the performance of a football team. But in this case, I think it is the other members of that offense, those 10 other players, or the 15 other that actively participate as a part of the offensive game plan each and every week, and also, too, how disruptive and how confident can our defense play against the great Andrew Luck, which could potentially knock him off if he is, in fact, as the caller said, an 8 or a 9, or maybe even in some cases when he plays really well, a 10, to get him to play at a 7 level, and then our offense steps up and they help Brian Hoyer play at that 7, 7.5, 8 level. So it's a collective effort, and because of this situation, we're focusing on one position, but as a collective effort by everyone on offense, and in this case, because of the offensive juggernaut that we will see, the other side of the ball and special teams have to step up to make a play, because they can help combat, you know, an average Brian Hoyer, and essentially, as some people have said, help win in spite of him, which keeps not just Brian Hoyer in the playoff hunt or keep him in his position, but keeps the Cleveland Browns in the conversation in the hunt.
Let's go now to Roger in Youngstown. Roger, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys, for taking my call. I'll be real quick. Matt, you kind of nailed it for me, two previous callers. The only thing that ignites a fan base is winning, number one. Let's be clear about that. Number two, Mike Pettine absolutely made the right decision, because I think had there been another quarterback other than Johnny Manziel who – you know, I think the reason Johnny Manziel did not get the nod is because of one word that I would use, and it's maturity. And I don't mean the off-the-field stuff. Does he stay up to practice? Does he stay in the film room? Is he looking at his receivers, seeing what their strengths are, seeing what their weaknesses are? Is he able to stay in the pocket and complete passes instead of running and frustrating his receivers? there's a lot of things that goes into playing this game. And if Johnny Manziel is not mature enough to do those things,
what do you base that off of? What do you base your opinion on that off of?
He just doesn't impress me, because with the decision that Mike Pettine made in terms of Johnny not, he didn't say it, but I think that's the reason why Johnny did not get the nod. He's not mature enough. Whether or not he's doing the things that a backup quarterback who has the potential to be the starting quarterback needs to do in order to help his team win.
Well, I'll just say this. Let me say this. All I've heard from inside this building, and I know from the coaches, et cetera, is that Johnny Manziel is an incredibly hard worker and is putting in the extra work and the effort to learn this offense and be on top of it. I would also say the only time you've ever seen Johnny Manziel on a football field in a series as a quarterback was against the Buffalo Bills. And here's a guy who came in cold off the bench, knew what he had to do, completed two very nice passes from the pocket, one to Josh Gordon, one to Jim Dre, made good reads, delivered the football accurately and with conviction and strength on his arm, was able to create plays with his legs, and seemed very prepared coming in against a very good defense. Now, were the Bills playing a little softer maybe than they had earlier in the game? Sure, but he still made the plays, and those are plays that were not being made before. I don't understand how you can say that he's not mature enough when you're taking the off-the-field stuff out of it. I mean, if that's where you want to go after Johnny Manziel, he's left himself open to some of that.
No, you're absolutely right.
But I don't think there's a guy here in this locker room, and I'll tell you from watching the players on the sideline when he went in the game, that weren't excited to see him, and that obviously players would be resentful if they thought a guy wasn't taking being professional seriously. I think you see that with certain players on this team right now if you really pay attention. You don't see that with Johnny Manziel.
No, you don't. And I think what a lot of fans do, because they don't understand the business of football, is they take the off the field and they bring it in this building. Okay, so they immediately say, because Johnny Manziel's name was mentioned three different times, you know, in the media by media sources for off the field issues, they immediately, you know, bring it into this building and say, well, because he's doing that, he's not putting in the time.
It's ridiculous. Because if you understand football and you watch the way that he came into that game and the command that he showed, you know that he has been putting in the
absolutely
work. Because he looked more calm and confident in that one series in a regular season game than he had looked in the preseason. It doesn't. If you're going to come after, you know, Johnny, come after him with basis. You don't enjoy certain aspects of his skill set. You don't enjoy his off-the-field antics. Johnny Manziel is an ultra-competitive person who comes in here and busts his butt. And if he was not busting his butt, if it was just like you say it was, there's no way they would have even put him in. They wouldn't have given him the satisfaction of going in against Buffalo and putting themselves in this situation. It's the fact that he has improved. It's the fact that he is a very hard worker in this building that is why he got that opportunity. And you know why he capitalized on it? Because he was prepared to do so. That's why you saw that drive. He's the only rookie quarterback all year long who's coming on his first series as the actual quarterback and led his team to a touchdown. An 80-yard touchdown drive, by the way, against a team that hadn't given up a first down in the half of football until he entered that game. So don't come at him after that. Support Hoyer, that's fine. 7-5, the best they've done since 2007. When you think about all the injuries that have been, Brian Hoyer has been the quarterback who's gotten them there. You can argue if it was because of him, in spite of him, doesn't matter. The facts are the Browns are 7-5. Brian Hoyer started every game this season. But don't come after Johnny Manziel on that, because that's wrong. You are factually inaccurate when you say things like that. Johnny Manziel's putting in the work. He's an incredibly talented kid, and he's going to have the opportunity to be the quarterback for this team at some point. That time is, however, not now. Brian Hoyer is still the starter, according to Mike Pettine. We'll be back with more calls, more reaction, 216-578-0850 on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.